Amen. So thankful for Jesus, for His life, for His love, and that He makes us friends. If you would open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 today. Ephesians chapter 6. As we continue our study on the family, being challenged to have revival in our family, and that comes through having mutual respect in the home, that wives would give unconditional respect to their husbands, that husbands would honor their wives, that comes through love in the home, that we would have that godly, agape, unconditional love in the home, that everyone would love each other and forgive one another as they've been forgiven. And it comes through honor in the family. We're going to learn about that today as we look at a command for children and a demand for godly parents. The command for children and the demand for godly parents. I want to ask you, if you're physically able, will you stand as we read the Word of God this morning? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 4. Everybody ready to get in the Word this morning? Ready? All right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, we pray for mercy and help in our time of need. Every moment of our life is a time of need. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. And I pray that you'll be with us today. I pray that men and women and boys and girls would be repentant of sin in their hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that we would be looking to you and that you would give encouragement and comfort and strength to us, Lord. Lord, many are hurting today. Many are struggling, and I just pray that you'll give grace and that you'll give mercy and that you'll give help. Thank you so much to all who have gathered today. We do pray for those who are unable to be here, that you'll bring them back together with us soon, Lord. We thank you so much for the privilege that we have and the freedom to come and worship you. Thank you for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice to provide that freedom. And we thank you above all things for Jesus, who died for our sins and rose again. Please comfort hearts. Please help. And Lord, if anyone hearing this message today has never truly been born again, I pray today would be the day that they would repent of their sin and unbelief. Today would be the day they would trust in Jesus with all their heart. Today would be the day they would call on you. And just pray, Lord, and ask you to forgive their sin and to be their Savior. Please help that all we do would give you glory. Help our families to be strengthened, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to just say from the outset, I know many families gathered here today still have children at home, and this ought to hit home to you. And I understand today that some of you are empty nesters and your children are gone and out of the home. And I understand that there may even be some listening to the message who have never had children, but there are truths that apply here to every one of us, and I hope that the Spirit of God will make it land where He wants it to today. It's really important that we understand these truths because there's great promise with it. In verse 2, He says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. God says in the law that when you honor your mother and your father, that God will bless you with long lives. Now, when I was growing up, I learned this by experience because my mother threatened to kill me many times. Didn't nobody else had that? Yeah, Brother Roger's mom threatened to kill him for sure. You know, early on, it was threatened with a switch. We had a willow tree at our house. I hate willow trees to this day. I heard an amen back there. When I got a little older, the tree switches weren't enough, so there was the shotgun. I got threatened with a shotgun, and I believed my mother. But I don't think it's just just that if you do what's right enough that your parents won't kill you. I think there's a blessing from God here. There's actual spiritual blessings that when you learn to live a life of reverence towards your parents, when you learn to be obedient to them, you learn that at home, then you learn to respect all other authority in your life, and ultimately you respect the one who's above all authority. You learn to reverence God. And when you learn to reverence God, blessings will come into your life. I read about a little boy whose family went to a baby dedication. And if you're not familiar with that, a baby dedication in a Baptist church isn't really so much about dedicating the baby as it is the parents being dedicated to raising the baby right. Everybody understand what I'm saying? A baby dedication is a time when mom and dad will bring the baby up and they'll dedicate themselves to raise that child in the ways of God. And they were on their way home from the baby dedication, and the little boy in the back seat, the older brother, was crying. And his dad was asking him, "Son, what is wrong with you? Why are you crying?" And he wouldn't answer. And I had to ask him three times before the little boy answered. And he said, "Daddy, the pastor said that he wanted our baby brother to be raised in a Christian home, but I want to live with you guys." That hurts, doesn't it? I mean, it's funny. It's hard not to laugh. But the reality is out of the mouths of babes, right? Listen, we need to understand that our children need to see a Christian home all the time. It can't just be something that we put on, some show that we put on when we come to church. I mean, you've all seen the memes on social media lately. The look of mom in the car on the way to church. Everybody seen that? It's a chihuahua looking mean, because chihuahuas, if you didn't know, are demon dogs. If you knew that, but they are the spawn of Satan. I'm just sorry if that offends you today. But the chihuahua's looking terrible and mean. That's mama on the way to church. And in the next side of the meme, it's the chihuahua looks very happy, and it says, "Mom, when you walk through the door." The chihuahua's all happy and smiling. Can we just be honest today? Just real quick. Has anybody actually lived that? Can we just, I'll give you time to repent and get honest. A little bit of anger, a little bit of frustration, a little bit of not being kind to each other in the car on the way, and then when you get out of the car, it's all smiles and everybody, "Good morning, we're so happy to be here. Lord bless you, good to see you today." Right? Yeah, we know because we've all been there. Listen, I get that, and I understand that trying to get your family, you know, to be alive on Sunday morning is hard. To get them to put on clothes and open their eyes, it's hard. I know. I understand that it's a difficult thing, but listen, every day it can't be just something we put on when we come to church. It's got to be our lives, and nobody knows better, whether it's real at your house or not, nobody knows better than your children. They know. And so, kids, you have a commandment from God to obey. If you're interested in language, the Greek word is hupakuo. It means literally to hear under. What it gives the idea is to hear a command and obey the command. It literally means to put yourself under someone else's authority. And this is really vital that we understand this from a child, that you understand that the authority in your life, when you're a child, you understand the authority in your life is mom and dad. So that you can understand when you get out of the home that the authority in your life may be your teacher, it may be your coach, it may be the referees that are on the court or field with you, it may be the principal at your school if you ever have to visit the principal. Just want to give you a second to have those good memories, or else not so good. I thought my principal liked me until the one day I had to get licks at school, and I felt like he didn't really like me. Sorry, give me a second. Okay, I'm okay. Anybody else have to go to the principal's office? Okay, just checking. I don't want to be alone up here. So you learn to respect authority. You learn to respect the police. I realize this is really radical preaching in America today, but you ought to respect the police. There are some bad police officers in America. There are some that are probably thieves and murderers. That's true, but that's not all of them, and you ought to respect the police. And we don't need a society that doesn't have any policing. We don't need that. That's called anarchy, and we don't need that. And so we learn to respect the police. We learn to respect the authority that's over us. We learn ultimately to respect the one who's given all authority on the earth, and that's God. And so you see, when you back it all down, and when you see the chaos and anarchy that's in America today, when you see men and women who don't respect the police, when you see men and women who don't respect authorities in their lives, when you see moms and dads who don't teach their children to respect the teacher or respect the principal. Listen, when I grew up, the last thing in the world I ever wanted to do was get in trouble at school, because mom knew about it before I got home, and I was going to get in trouble at school. I was going to get in trouble when I got home. But something began to change when I was growing up, and something crazy happened. I would see kids in my class get in trouble, and rather than them getting in trouble at school and at home, their parents would come and yell at the teacher and the principal. And then you wonder why your kids grow up to not respect authority. You wonder what's wrong with society. You wonder why they don't respect authority and why people are burning down police buildings and burning down city halls. You wonder why that happens, because you didn't teach them respect at home. And so we need to make a change. And I understand that it's counterculture. I understand that it goes in against everything that's out there in the world today. But that's exactly what we want to do today. We want to stand on the truth of the Word of God, no matter what the world says. And so we have to learn that. Obedience and respect. The word honor is a wonderful word. It means to value. To value. Hey, kids. Do you value your parents? I'm going to give all the kids a second to look up here. So listen, kids. Do you value your parents? Let me help you out. This means yes. This means no. I mean, you can keep looking down so I don't wait on you, but we'll know what that answer is. All the parents are going to be coming up to me later. Like, did they nod their head or did they say no? What did they do? I want to know. Hey, listen, you're not going to find out by whether they nod their head right now or not. You're going to find out at home. I hear kids today speak to their parents or their grandparents in the most disrespectful ways. I never thought I'd be the old guy at the store that wanted to yank up somebody else's kids and bust them. I never thought I'd be that guy. But I am. I'm that guy. I'm that guy that wants to go into Walmart, see the little kid screaming and yelling at his mom like she's a piece of trash, talking to his mother like he's like she's a dog, worse than the dog. This kid's talking to his mom that way, and I want to yank him up and bust him in front of God and everybody for everybody's good. I don't, and if I did, I'd make sure there were no cameras around. That was supposed to be a joke. No, we need to learn respect. Listen, you ought to value your parents. I just want to help everybody out here today. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mom. Like, literally, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mom. You wouldn't exist. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your parents. And some of you say, listen, my mom wasn't so great growing up, or I don't even know who my dad is, but I understand that there's some bad situations in some people's lives, but there have been people, and maybe it wasn't your biological parents, but there have been people who parented you. There have been people who poured into your life, and listen, there's more that connects us than biology. There are people who have loved us and invested in our lives and have been there for us and have been mothers and fathers for us if our mothers and fathers weren't there, and you ought to value those people. Listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings today, but I have no doubt somebody helped you to grow up or you wouldn't be here. Zach, you wouldn't have survived without help. I mean, I love you, and I'm just trying to be honest today. Tell the truth. I'm trying not to look right at you, Maui, but I can't help it. Listen, I know Some of you could get up here and tell testimonies about how it was at home and how your parents weren't good and they didn't treat you right. And some of you were abused as children and terrible things have happened. But I have also heard the stories of how other people stepped in and other people loved you and other people provided for you. And that's by the grace of God. And you're here today. You're here today because somebody, and you ought to value those people. Now listen, at the end of the day, we're to honor our parents whether they're good or not. You give them respect as parents. It doesn't mean we have to approve of everything that they do, but we honor them. And by the way, that doesn't change when you become a legal adult. And can I just say, legal adulthood in America today really doesn't mean much? Because nobody grows up. And can I just encourage you today, don't wait. Hey kids, listen. Don't wait till you become a legal adult to grow up. Go ahead and grow up now. Go ahead and grow up now. Do you realize that our founding fathers were being ambassadors to other countries when they were 14, 15, 16 years old? Do you understand that people were running countries when they were younger than 15, 14 years old? Do you understand that growing up, maturing is a choice? It's called the acceptance of responsibility, and you don't have to wait till mama kicks you out of the house to take on some responsibility. I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to help you. We had a theme song when I was growing up. It was, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. Anybody else want to sing it? Some of you got it. And some of the kids here are like, what's Toys R Us? Yeah. It's a dinosaur. It's a relic. They don't even, I think that all of the stores are closed now, I think. Yeah, they're all gone. End of an era. Might be the best thing in the world for our country. Listen, you should want to grow up. You should want to accept responsibility. Being an adult is a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Listen, because when you have responsibility, you get the rewards of that responsibility. Obey and honor. There's a command here for children. But the command for children to be obedient necessitates a demand for godly parents. Just work with me here logically for a second. If you look at verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Your kids can't obey you in the Lord if you're not teaching them in the Lord. Your children can't be taught to do what's right if you're not teaching them to do what's right, if you're not telling them to do what's right. Parents have to correct obedience in love and in the Lord. Obedience and respect for God-given authority has to be taught to our children. It has to be lived out in front of our children. We are commissioned, we are commanded, we are called to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's vital for us to do that. Chuck Swindoll said, you want to mess up the minds of your children? Anybody? Just checking. Here's how, guaranteed. Rear them in a legalistic, tight context of external religion where performance is more important than reality. Fake your faith. Sneak around and pretend your spirituality. Train your children to do the same. Embrace a long list of do's and don'ts publicly, but hypocritically practice them privately. Yet never own up to the fact that it's hypocrisy. Act one way, but live another, and you can count on it. Emotional and spiritual damage will occur. Now, there's not a parent or grandparent in the room would be like, yeah, man, I've been trying to mess up my kids. I mean, we mess them up, but I don't think anybody sets out to do that. But one of the best ways to mess your kids up is to be fake here and live a different way at home. One of the best ways to mess your kids up is to do the things you tell them not to do. What we've got to do is believe it and live it out in front of them day by day. We've got to teach them. We've got to lead them in the right way. We've got to teach our children to obey. It's our responsibility to train up our children. He says in our text to bring them up. This is a Greek word that means that is ektrepho. It means to bring up to maturity. This is the idea of nourishing. Parents, if we're going to teach our children to obey, we have to learn to nourish them. Our homes ought to be a place that fosters growth in their lives. Now, we want them to grow up, right? I mean, you don't feed them chicken nuggets from McDonald's all the time, do you? I mean, you've given them, like, some vegetables occasionally. Flintstone vitamin? Okay, well, you know, we're not going to eat vegetables, so we're at least going to give you a Flintstone, right? Because it's fun to bite Dino's head off. Just saying. And I always loved it when I got Bam Bam. He's the hardest one to find, and he was my favorite. And if you don't know who Bam Bam is, I'm sorry for your neglected childhood. Nourish. Our homes ought to be a place of nourishment. Help your children to grow. Now, this idea of nourishing, of course, we want to pull the weeds. Of course, we want to cut out the thorns. Of course, we want to dig out the rocks. But we have to also provide them with good nourishment. The plants don't grow without the right soil and the right sunlight and good water. We need to foster growth in them. We need to have a place of nourishment, of growth. Hey, let me encourage you with this. This is something I need to learn. Catch your kids doing something right. We're all good at catching them doing stuff wrong. Right? And you usually know when it's happening. Melissa has like a spidey sense sometimes when we'll be talking or doing whatever, hanging out, and she'll go, "What are the kids doing? It's quiet." Like, when they're noisy, you know, but when they get quiet, that's when you know something's up, right? Mm-hmm. Listen, we're good at catching them doing something wrong, but if we're not careful, the only interaction we have with our kids is to get on to them for something wrong. At some point, we need to give our kids a good job. They need a attaboy. They need some affirmation. They need some encouragement. They need some praise. And some of you are looking at your kids going right now, well, if they ever do something right, I'll be sure to tell them. Maybe you should start small. Look for the small things. Hey, listen, if you got a young man and you see him open the door for somebody else, you got to say, "Good job, son." You hear your kids say, "Yes, ma'am," or "No, ma'am," or "Yes, sir," or "No, sir," to somebody else, you ought to say, "Hey, good job. Thank you for being respectful." If you see your daughter being kind to somebody else, maybe there's a kid that everybody else is picking on, but they're nice to them and they go out of their way to be kind to them, you ought to say, "Hey, honey, that was really good of you. That's sweet. That's a good thing what you did there." We ought to find our kids, catch them doing something right, reward good behaviors and attitudes. Listen, can I just help you out? If your kids always have a bad attitude, the first thing you should do is look at your attitude. It's an amazing thing how your kids will say the same things you do, the same way you say them, the act the way you do. And I've been amazed sometimes when I see a bad attitude or maybe a bad behavior or maybe the kids being a little sarcastic or snarky to somebody else, and I have to stop and go, "Wow, that sounded just like me." And then I'll say to Melissa, "Did you hear what your kid said?" We pass them back and forth sometimes, depending on what they did. You ever get those calls, Dad? You ever get a call? "Your son." I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. Yeah. We need to find our kids doing good things. We need to let them know when they do something right. Reward good behaviors. Can I just help you out with this? I know it's a little counterculture to America today. Hey, but parents, don't reward bad behavior. Some parents in America today think that if they just spend enough money on their kids, they'll turn out all right. I want to help you out. It won't work. It's not going to make them better. As a matter of fact, it will absolutely make their attitudes and actions worse. You say, well, little Billy, he's just not been acting right in school, but I think we'll buy him a new bicycle and see if it'll help him do better. You know, little Billy, he threw a fit on the playground the other day, and he punched another kid in the nose and kicked him in the shin, and he got in all kinds of trouble. But I think maybe if we'll buy him that new PlayStation, then he'll start acting better. Now, some of you are laughing like, we don't parent that way, but maybe you do on a smaller scale. Listen, we need to see good behavior and reward it, but we don't need to reward bad behavior. Whether your children know it or not, whether they would ever admit it or not, they desperately need your approval. Your kids crave affirmation. They want you to be proud of them. My mom and I growing up, we had a lot of heart-to-hearts. Mom and I, pretty close growing up. My dad is a hard worker and a great provider and one of the most generous men I'll ever know in my life. That's my dad. But we didn't have a lot of real heart-to-heart talks. You know what I'm saying? There's been a few times in my life when my dad looked me in the eye and told me that he was proud of me. And I'm 41 years old. And to this day, I can't believe how much that means to me. For my dad to look me in the eye and say, son, I'm proud of you. And if it means that much to me right now, I promise you it means a lot to your kids more than they know. They need you to be proud of them. They desperately need that. Listen, here's one of the reasons our society's so messed up today is because kids aren't getting the teaching and the nurturing that they need at home, so they're looking for affirmation somewhere else. And they find love and acceptance and affirmation and encouragement with other people who are proud of them for doing wrong things, who encourage them in that and think they're doing great by doing wrong things. So don't allow them to go there. Make sure they get that nourishment at home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. I know we go here all the time, but it's vital that you get this truth. Deuteronomy 6, 6. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And can I just encourage you that you understand that it's your job to teach your children. Train them up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. It's your job. And we live in a culture where we've relegated the training up, the teaching, the discipling of our children to somebody else. And listen to me. We want to disciple our own children. God gave them to you. It's your responsibility. It's your privilege. It's your job to train up your children. And if somebody is teaching your child, then somebody is discipling your child. And you better be careful who their teachers are. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? But listen, in America today, we've given up to somebody else. Somebody else take my kids and teach them. We bring them to church. We say, hey, somebody else teach them. But listen, and that's fine. They need teachers. They need tutors. They need Sunday school teachers. And that's all good and well. But you can't just leave it to that and not do your job. We have to teach them. It's our responsibility. And by the way, if you don't know what your kids, let me just say this. If you don't know what your kids are being taught at school, you need to wake up. You ought to know. You ought to know. And you ought to make sure that they're being taught the truth. And if they're not being taught the truth, then you should do something about it. What am I going to do? I don't know. Maybe do what God called you to do. Teach your children. You say, well, Pastor, listen, I don't really like this message very much because I thought you were going to, preach at the kids and tell them to obey. So I don't really like what's going on here. Like, why don't you just get after the kids for a little bit? Listen, it's your responsibility to teach them. How am I going to stand up here and admonish them to obey you if you're not teaching them? He says, bring them up. That's nourishment. And then he says, in the nurture and admonition. The word nurture means to tutor, to educate, to train. It has the idea of disciplinary correction. The word's translated many times as chasten. We want to train them up and we want to correct them when they do wrong. Angry and abusive correction is always wrong. It's ineffective and it provokes your children to wrath. Now, I have disciplined my children in anger before. I've had to go back to my children and apologize to them. And if you have disciplined your children in anger, you should go and apologize to them today. But I'm telling you, our kids need correction. And the Bible helps us out. Just study Proverbs. You study it as a family. If you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Proverbs says, spare not for their crying, they shall not die. It's encouraging, kids. If your mom and dad whip you, it's not going to kill you. You're not going to die. But here's the truth. Most of us who grew up with parents who loved us enough to whoop us, we understand that we needed that, and we're grateful for it today. And you, listen, you don't enjoy it at the time. Hebrews tells us all about it. No chastening is you know, something you're going to enjoy at the present time. But it bears the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We've got to learn to correct them. We've got to learn to correct them in the right way. Correction must be in the Lord. A lot of times we punish our children more severely out of pride or embarrassment than we do the love of the truth. Can you be honest for a second? Have you ever been rougher on your kids when they did something that embarrassed you publicly than you were if they'd have done the same thing at home? Why? Is it because what they did, it's the same thing? They do it at home, yeah, they get in trouble, it's not that big a deal. They do it in public in front of other people, and now it's a big, big deal. Why? Because we're more concerned with our own pride. We're more concerned with our embarrassment than we are them doing what's right. Now listen, I think you ought to care about your family name. I think you ought to care about the way your kids act in public. I think you ought to care about how your kids act at church. I think you ought to correct your own children. I don't think I should ever have to get onto a kid at church. I don't think I should have to do that. By the way, I will. So we'll just get that out of the way. So if anybody wants to get mad about it, you already know. I've corrected your. I haven't gone around whooping anybody, but I'll tell your kids to stop, act right, okay? And I know you can't watch them all the time, but listen, it ought to be, that we teach our kids to obey for the right reasons at home. We ought to love the truth. We ought to love God more than we're concerned about our own embarrassment. The truth is, our hearts ought to be broken over our children's sin. We shouldn't be more bothered by how their sin makes us look than we are about their relationship with Christ. We shouldn't be more concerned with how their behavior makes us look than we are their disregard for obedience to God's word. We shouldn't be more concerned about how their behavior affects our name than we are about how their behavior brings a reproach on His name. We want to bring them up. We want to teach them the right way. And it takes nurture, it takes nourishing, and it takes admonition. Admonition. We want to warn our kids that if they go the wrong way, it's going to lead to trouble. We need to call attention to the things that are going to help them. We need to be more concerned with our kids than other things. And by the way, this isn't something new. William Penn said, men are generally more careful of their horses and dogs than of their children. Men are generally more careful of their horses and dogs than of their children. You'd think that kind of attitude was something new, but it's been around a long time. Now, maybe it's not horses and dogs today. Maybe it's trucks and motorcycles or fishing boats or whatever it is. But men, can I just tell you, we ought to be more concerned with our children than we are our things. We want to bring them up. We want to nourish them. We want to nurture them and admonish them in the right things. Raising children is difficult. Raising them the right way is hard. It takes effort. There was a little girl who noticed her mom was starting to get some white hairs. Kids are good about noticing stuff like that. She looked at her mom and said, why are some of your hairs white, mommy? And so the mom, being clever, saw it as an opportunity. She said, well, honey, every time you do something that's wrong or makes mommy cry, I get a white hair. Yeah, nothing like a mother's guilt. Little girl was quiet for a little time, and then she looked at her mommy and said, mommy, why are all of grandma's hairs white? Raising kids is difficult, but God's given us this great privilege and great responsibility, and we're blessed to be able to teach our children, to train them up in the way that they should go. My prayer for my children and yours is always, one, that they'll be saved the moment they're old enough. I pray that your kids and my kids won't spend a second lost, that the moment they come to that age of accountability, whatever it is for each child, that they will repent and trust in Jesus, that they'll be saved. And my prayer for my children and your children is, number two, that they will live long and fruitful lives in the Lord's service. That they'll give their lives to Christ. They'll live for Him long lives because they've learned obedience, and fruitful lives because they're serving Him with all their heart. We want to love Him. I hope that if we all left here today after a baby dedication, that none of our children would be upset. Because pastor wants them to live in a Christian home, and they feel like their home isn't a Christian home. I pray today that your relationship with Christ is real, and that you're training your children, you're taking that responsibility. It's amazing how unbiblical teaching permeates and endures. Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote The Social Contract back in 1762. His ideology was that man was born free and everywhere he's in chains, but Rousseau's idea of liberty wasn't what you would think. He didn't think that freedom, he wasn't talking about freedom from state tyranny. He was talking about freedom from personal obligations. Rousseau thought that people were threatened by the tyranny that came from family, church, and the workplace. He felt like that we ought to transfer our loyalty completely to the state and the state alone, and that we wouldn't have any personal responsibility. If we gave all our responsibility to the state, then to the government, then we wouldn't feel the burdens that we feel today. He lived it out in his own life. He had a lot of mistresses, but in particular, he had one that he had four children with. And in order to try to rise in society in Paris in that day, he took all of those children and left them on the step of an orphanage because he didn't want those kids to get in the way of his ability to rise up in the social standings. He didn't want to have all these illegitimate children. Historical records show that almost all of the children from that orphanage either died in the orphanage or they ended up beggars. Originally, he defended himself by saying that he couldn't work in a house that was filled with domestic cares and the noise of children. But then he became self-righteous and he said, well, I'm just doing what Plato said. Plato said the state is better equipped than parents to raise good citizens. And do you know those ideas permeate today? And I don't care what Rousseau says, and I don't care what Hillary Clinton says. Hillary Clinton says that it takes a village to raise a child. But listen, friends, God didn't give the village the responsibility to raise your children. He gave you that responsibility. You can't give it up to the state. You want to give your children over to the federal government? You want to give your children over to the state government? Are you kidding me? They're your children. God blessed you with them, and they are in the inheritance of the Lord, and you ought to love them, and you ought to teach them, and you ought to lead them by example, and you ought to love Jesus in front of them every day. And you ought to own that responsibility. And can I just say this? You ought to be on your knees before God every day saying, God, help us to be the family you want us to be, because I promise you can't do it on your own. At the end of his life, Rousseau lamented that he grieved and he felt guilty for what he had done, and said that he didn't have the simple courage to bring up a family. Listen, some of you guys think that the political debates going on in America today about socialism and free market enterprise and capitalism, that all of those things and the type of country that we have and the type of government that we have, you think it's just a political thing, it has nothing to do with anything else. I'm telling you, listen to me, it has everything to do with what the Word of God teaches. These are biblical truths that have real implications in the real world. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents, they can't obey you in the Lord if you're not training them up in the Lord. Let's stand together and get ready for an invitation. Little boy's daddy got a new job. And where he worked, he was covered in dust from head to toe every time he came home. One Saturday, pastor came over to visit. Dad was, of course, cleaned up on a Saturday morning, and he was washing the car. While him and the pastor were standing in the driveway talking, he looked over, and his little boy had rocks and dirt and was rubbing them all over himself. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, Daddy, I want to be dusty just like you. That pastor said, if a little boy will cover himself in dust to be like his daddy, how much more will he look at the other things we do in our lives? Moms and dads need to be godly examples for their kids. They're looking at you. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, let's be the example that we need to be. And kids, no matter who your mom and dad are, no matter what they act like, God demands of you to honor them, to give them respect. And when you do that, when you honor them, no matter what, God will bless you for that obedience. If he's convicting your heart, there's some trouble you've got going on in your life, you can come to him. He'll give you comfort. He'll give you strength. He'll give you help. But turn to the Lord this morning while we sing.